vote on number 165 on line 398, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
That fails. We go to a vote on the whole section. All in favor of the education section as it appears in the call booklet, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. We've got two of them done. All right. The next section is the dreaded government law, military, and veterans section. Now, I'm just kidding. It's actually my favorite. But you know how they call Wednesday hump days? This is hump section. Everything after this is downhill. So. She was right here. She's on line 398, number 165. Oh, you don't need to record anything. It was just a question of whether to pull it out. That failed, so
okay.
They can do that.
When you're doing that, make sure I hear it so I can figure out where we're at. So that's totally blowing me away.
I know, it's unusual.
What's the first one in line?
One second. All right, thank you very much. I know that some of you will leave as the night goes on. We do have quite a bit more work to do. If you leave, bring all of your materials from your packet up to the rules desk, including that device. Do not take that home with you. We will be coming to get it if you do. That thing costs $60, and we'll bill you $60 if you don't turn it in. So make sure you turn it in. They can also drop it off over there. You want them to drop it off by the where the check-in was? Okay, back in the corner there. But don't go. We've got more work to do, and I know you're just loving this. Okay. The next item, again, is government law, military, and veterans section. Could I have someone on behalf of the subcommittee to move this section? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Name is Bart Randolph, Pottawatomie County. I was chair of the Government Law, Military, and Veterans Subcommittee. First of all, Bill, if you worked on it this time, it might not be your favorite section. We did a lot of work. It was a lot of hours, a lot of time. Everybody on the committee worked really hard. We worked very well together, no matter if you were a Sanders or Clinton delegate, which was a big push for me. So with that said, I would like to move that we approve all of the government law, military, and veterans sections, except those that are already marked as a minority report and any amendments to be added.
Thank you. All right, and the first minority report that I see is line 460, plank 183. Right now it says we support abolishing the Electoral College. The minority report would delete that plank. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of the minority report?
How do I do this?
I see a green light over here.
No.
Oh, red light. Green light over here. All right.
Okay. So, supporting.
State your name, your county, and speak very loudly into the microphone.
Okay. I'm Kelly McMahon, Linn County.
Folks, please keep the side conversations down. Thank you.
So, I hope I've got the right light on. My concern if we were to abolish the Electoral College is that then we would no longer have electoral votes. And that is what allows Iowa to be a battleground state in the general election, presidential elections. My friend over here did the math, and the overwhelming majority of the electorate is going to be in some of the 14 major cities around the country, and none of those are here in Iowa. So by having the electoral vote process, which is part of the Electoral College, Iowa gets to be a player in electing our president. Otherwise, we would be a flyover after caucuses. And then what's the point of us being first in the nation for the caucus, for the primary process? So I would encourage us to delete abolishing the Electoral College from the platform. Thank you.
All right. We can have a speaker in opposition. That light has been on a long time. Go over there.
Susie Petro, Story County. Our government leads us to believe that every vote matters. This is not the case when we look at the Electoral College. There are three major reasons why this does not work. You realize that we elect a slate of electors for the real president. It's not our vote, not yours and mine. First problem, the distribution of Electoral College votes per state is not done equally. For instance, Wyoming has one elector for every 177,000 people. Texas has one elector for every 700,000 person. That means each vote in Wyoming counts nearly four times as much as the vote in Texas. So the conclusion is the value of your individual vote depends on what state a person lives in. The second problem is that swing states versus safe states. Sure, if we're a swing state, we get more time. But a safe state, for instance, like Texas, usually goes Republican, and Maryland, Democratic. So therefore, a Republican's vote in Maryland doesn't matter, and a Democrat's vote in Texas is worthless.
Thank you. Your minute
Please
has expired.
Please, make sure every vote counts, yours and mine.
Right here.
Hello. This historically, the Electoral College was established to balance the rights of the small states with the large population states, and that's just exactly what it does. And if, right, and if we allowed, as if we destroyed that process, then our votes here in Iowa would not matter one little bit. Foreign policy wouldn't matter one little bit because it would be guided by people who don't understand a damn thing about farm living in Iowa or anything else or any of these other small states. We need to keep the Electoral College so we have a balance of power between the small states and the large states.
Thank you. Over here.
Hi, Bryce Rogers, Johnson County.
You got to speak more closely to the mic. Can't hear you.
Bryce Rogers, Johnson County.
Good.
Okay, so as has been said before, the problem with the Electoral College is that states that have too much population are underrepresented, too little population overrepresented. I'd like to quantify this for you. So it is possible to win the presidential election with approximately 78% of the people voting against you. Another way to look at it is we have about a 5% failure rate with the Electoral College. That's three elections where, in the past, where the majority did not vote for the candidate that actually won. I think we can do better.
Is there another speaker in favor of the minority report? I don't see a green light on. Any speaker in favor? Ah, okay, over here.
Hi, Jeff Johnson from Linn County.
Yeah.
I used to teach government, and one thing that is very important with this is that since we are from Iowa, which is a smaller state, we have around 3 million people in the state in a country of over 300 million. And so overall, we represent less than 1% of the population. And so if we were to abolish the Electoral College, we would actually be decreasing the value of each of our votes in this room in this state. So we would actually lose power to states like Texas, where they have large populations that are growing. They have a huge school-age population right now, and they would gain more from this, and we would lose more from this.
Thank you. We can have one more speaker opposed.
Here.
Well, now, hold on. Somebody's been waiting over here for quite a while. Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Judy Lemish from Story County. When we vote for president, we are not casting a direct vote. The Electoral College doesn't allow for the equal weighting of votes. Contrary to others here tonight, the method produces unforeseen consequences in that some states' votes count for more than other states' votes. The Electoral College is controlling the vote. It is an elitist and an undemocratic process. The candidate can have fewer popular votes but still have more electoral votes. Do we want to repeat Bush and Gore again? No.
I like Al. All right, folks, we're going to go to a vote on this. If you vote aye, you are voting to delete line 460, plank 183. If you vote nay, you want to keep it there. All in favor of the minority report to delete line 183, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
It is too close to call. It is. I'm going to need to have an eyeball on standing vote. If I could have one other person come up and help me. All right. I've got two, and that's plenty. Thank you. All right. If you're voting aye, that means you want to strike line 460. Yeah, we're not counting. We're just taking a look. All in favor of the minority report to strike line 460, plank 183, please stand. If you can't stand, raise the paddle. All right, you may be seated. All those opposed to the minority report to strike, please rise. What do you think? Can you tell? Please be seated. In the opinion of all three of us, it appears the ayes have it. You thought that was fun. How about the next one? Line 467, plank 188, currently reads, "We oppose superdelegates." The minority report would be move it to we support superdelegates. Someone like to speak in favor? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Emily Legal, Johnson County. We have superdelegates for a reason, and I'm just going to tell you a little story about what happened in the Hillary camp in District 2 convention in April. I have the greatest respect for our elected officials. We've voted for them, I'm working for them, but at the same time, I think it's important that everyone have a voice. We had a state legislator. She's from my hometown. I love her. I respect her. I'm happy she's here. But because of her increased name recognition, she took away a seat from an advocate, a voter who had devoted tons of hours to the pursuit of one candidate. By abolishing superdelegates, you're not giving the people a voice. You're taking one additional voice away from an activist who has earned it simply because an elected official, for example, Dave Loebzak, who has more name recognition than anyone else.
Thank you. Speaker opposed.
Holly Herbert, Polk County, on the platform committee and vice chair of this subcommittee. Currently, there are 718 unpledged superdelegates. Total delegate number is 4,765. This means that unpledged superdelegates represent 15% of the total delegate count. even though the current chair of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, has asked the media repeatedly to not include unpledged superdelegates in the count because they do not vote until the Democratic National Convention. They have been included. Also, the AP called former Secretary Clinton the presumptive nominee on June 6th, the evening before primaries, including California, based on anonymous reporting of unpledged superdelegates who do not vote until the National Convention. Even Mrs. Clinton herself said that she appreciated the support, but she still had additional primaries to win.
Thank you. All right, we can have another speaker in favor.
Okay. This minority report emerged because of a very close full committee vote. Who are the so-called superdelegates? They are party leaders and elected officials, and none cast their votes during the primary contests. In fact, some were only elected today here at this convention. Throughout the spring, in the ebb and flow of the primary contests, Hillary continued to build on her lead both in popular vote and delegate count. I'm certain that if it were Bernie who led by 4 million votes and 400 delegates, the superdelegates would be poised to vote for him. Attacking the superdelegates is like attacking the idea of electing people and having faith in them to do their jobs. Although there are Dems that we wish were more liberal, we don't have any Chuck Grassleys, John McCain's, Donald Trump's, Mitch McConnell's, refusing to do their jobs or committing to total oligarchy. If we do away with our superdelegates altogether, Hillary wins by 400 delegates. If we apportion them by primary results, she wins by 600 delegates. The superdelegates are a moot point and a sign of respect for democratic process. We
Thank
should
you.
Either support them
Thank
or
you.
Leave them alone, not oppose them.
Thank you. David.
Okay, David McFarland, Dallas County. I've got 4 points to make here. First of all, superdelegates are unelected. We spent all this time here electing delegates, but you've got a group of people that get there by not being elected. Plus, you don't know who they're going to vote for. The second one, superdelegates lead to voter suppression. And what the Democrats want is not voter suppression. That's a Republican idea.
Point of order.
The third point is Elizabeth Warren, who is a superdelegate, is against the superdelegates.
They're all against. You're not going back and forth.
And the fourth one is majority of districts in the state of Iowa voted against superdelegates.
All right, we've had two speakers in favor, two opposed. Is there another speaker in favor who wishes to come forward? Go ahead.
Hi, Jeff Johnson from Linn County again. I actually have kind of a personal story with this. My father is a lifelong Democrat, had always done some volunteer work behind the scenes, and before we had the superdelegates, he tried to get a delegate seat. And he ended up being fairly successful until he got to the state convention, where everybody else that he was running against for the seat was an elected official. Everybody else was known, my father was not, and so his state sent only elected officials because they did not have a vote of their own and they competed against the general population. It wasn't until just 12 years ago that my father finally achieved his goal of going to the national convention.
Thank you. The time is up. You can have one more speaker opposed right there. You've been waiting patiently.
Before I speak, could I make a motion that this is clearly the most contentious article in or platform in the program, I think, and when there's clearly more people want to talk, I'd make a motion we'd extend the debate only for 3 more people in favor and 3 more people against, so more people can have a chance to speak.
It's out of order until after your presentation.
Okay. Thank okay. you. I think we can all agree, unfortunately, that Iowa used to be a purple state and it's slowly become a red state. And we have a lot of great Democratic candidates for the House and the Senate, but simply electing candidates does not make us a blue state again. being a blue state is directly related to the decisions we make here in this room today. If we want Iowa to once again be a bastion for progressivism, we need to emulate the delegations of other trailblazing liberal states like Washington, Maine, Hawaii, Wisconsin, and today, the state of Texas took on superdelegates. This isn't a candidate issue. It's an issue directly reflective of Iowa's democratic values. Iowa won't be a true blue state again until the people in this room today push a platform that reflects other states that have never lost status as American strongholds progressive values.
All right. Our Our 6 minutes of debate has expired on this issue.
Motion to extend debate from Iris Garcia, candidate from Johnson County.
All right, there is a motion to extend debate, and there is a second. At this point, I do want to refer to the rules, Sandy Dockendorf. There's a motion to extend debate again, and I think we need to figure out if it's two-thirds or if it's... Thank you. Okay. The ruling is if it's a first extension, it's a minority or majority vote. If it is a second extension, then it takes two-thirds. Okay. So it has been moved and seconded to extend debate. It will require a majority vote to extend debate. All in favor of extending debate, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
In the opinion of the chair, the nays have it. It is the opinion of the chair that it is unnecessary to take a visual count or a visual accounting of the vote on that. It passed fairly overwhelmingly by voice vote.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Is it the opinion of the chair that if one-third of the delegates requested a standing or a clicker vote, they could not request that?
We don't have a provision for a standing vote here. Our vote, the way we have it set up, is that we take a look at the votes, and after that, then we have to go to the clicker and vote. It was the opinion of the chair the standing vote wasn't necessary.
Could I appeal the ruling of the chair?
You can appeal the ruling of the chair.
Second for the appeal.
John Neidebach, Polk County.
All right. The ruling of the chair has been appealed. Is that a majority vote, Sandy? Ruling of the chair? Yes. Okay. The motion before us is to overturn the ruling of the chair, and all in favor of that motion
signify. Can we do a clicker vote? Can we do a clicker vote on that?
No.
I didn't hear what he said, but he made a motion to overrule the ruling of the chair, and it was seconded, so we have to have a vote on it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
That clearly fails. We are back on my ruling that it failed by voice vote originally to extend debate, which means we now go to a vote on the minority report.
Bill, I'd like to offer an amendment.
You cannot amend a minority report.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's part of our rules. Okay, we will go to a vote. If you vote aye, you are voting in favor of the minority report, which would change the language here to say we support superdelegates. If you vote nay, that means you want to keep it the way it is, which says we oppose superdelegates. Everybody understand? All right. All in favor of the minority report to change it to we support superdelegates, signify by saying aye. All opposed, say nay.
Nay!
In the opinion of the chair, it fails.
Mr. Chair.
All right, order, order.
Mr. Chair.
Someone has...
Yes.
Please hold it down.
Just like on the last vote, it's not clear to those of us in the audience whether one just yelled louder than the other or not.
I understand. But it appears to me that a majority voted to oppose the minority report. Again, you can make a motion to overturn the ruling, but that's my ruling.
Nordic motto.
If there is a motion to overrule, you need to come to a microphone, state your name and your county.
Oops, I want this one. Here we go. We get it right. Right here.
Yes, sir.
Peter Olofsson, Winneshiek County. Move to overrule.
All right, there's a motion to overrule the ruling of the chair. Is there a second?
Second, Nathaniel Peterson, Buchanan County.
Appeal of the ruling of the chair. Thank you. Appeal of the ruling of the chair. Is there a second?
He seconded.
He did. Okay, thank you. There is a second.
Point of order.
I get 2 minutes to explain my ruling, and he gets 2 minutes to respond, correct? Oh, he gets 2 minutes, I get 2 minutes. Okay, thank you. This doesn't happen very often, so.
Point of order. Didn't we have a rule appeal of a ruling of a chair a little while ago, and there was no opportunity for me to explain my reason for asking for an appeal or for you to give your rationale?
Yep, I made a boo-boo.
I would ask that the same process be followed again.
I made an error. And I apologize for that.
Bill.
But we are, yes.
Under Roberts, the chair has the opportunity to explain his ruling, and that's all.
No, under the rules, it allows both sides to have 2 minutes.
Our rules set something different from Roberts' rules. Our rules say that the person making the motion gets the first opportunity to speak. Is that right, Sandy? All right, thank you very much. So if the maker of the motion to appeal the ruling of the chair would like to approach the microphone, you have 2 minutes.
Point of order, Bill.
I'm sorry, he's got the floor right now.
You've already set a
precedent. Oh, you're going to defer to him? Okay, go ahead.
You've already set a precedent on an appeal by not having the appealer state his reason or the response. You can't change it halfway through and have the second one following different rules than the first one.
The chair is not bound by an error the chair made initially and continuing through making an error every time thereafter. The chair does not have the ability to rewrite the rules. All right, go ahead.
I would be satisfied simply by asking for a division of the House.
I understand. I'm going to ask my counters to come up for just a moment. We're not going to ask for anybody's taking a stand. Can you come up for a moment? Understand. We'll take a vote on that in a moment. Was it? Oh. Him.
Was it your sense? Shouted too loud, or do you think it really failed? Are we going to benefit from that?
I think we need to go quicker.
All right, we're going to go to a standing look. All right. Thank you. I think that satisfies the motion. We will now ask you to indicate whether you support the minority report to move it to we support superdelegates by rising or...
Point of order. You have to vote on the appeal first. Yeah.
No, I acceded to it. I did what he asked me to do. So,
point of order, I heard a very clear ruling from the chair that you heard, but the nays won. Am I incorrect on that?
That is correct. It was appealed, and in respect for that appeal, I am going one step further to do a standing count. I want to make sure we get this right, John.
So is your ruling not... did you not hear clearly that the nays had won, as you previously announced?
John, I understand what you're saying. I want to take a look at this, and then we will go forward.
Point of order.
All right.
Point of order.
It is the discretion of the chair to whether to accede to that motion. I have done so. So we are now going to go to a standing vote.
What is the question?
Let's take a look and see how it comes out. You can raise a point of order after that. All right? Let's keep going forward here. All in favor of...
I'm sorry, but you are out of order. You are not allowed to change the rules midstream, even if you are the chair. I respect you. I understand what you're doing. But you cannot change the rules midstream. You are not allowed to change the rules after you have...
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair,
but
the question is, when you appeal from the decision of the chair, this is a point of order, the ruling now gets thrown to the audience, to the body, and the question is the chair correct in its ruling? This is an up or down, yay or nay vote, so we should take a vote.
That's
yay,
not correct.
You are correct, or
John,
no, you're not correct.
I received... information from the rules chair that the fact that I acceded to that motion is appropriate, it is permitted by the rules, and now we just want to take an eyeball look at the vote.
I request that rule be read.
I cannot.
I call for a parliamentarian.
The rule should be read.
The parliamentarian can give advice to the chair. The parliamentarian cannot overrule a chair in any convention. The parliamentarian gives advice.
No, but the body can overrule the chair, and that's what the appeal from the decision chair is, that for the body to make the final decision. That's what the motion of appeal of the decision chair is about, is to give the body the final decision, because the body controls the rules as long as they're not in conflict with the Constitution of the United States.
I acceded to the motion, John, which means we're going to take a standing eyeball look at this and then move forward. All in favor of the minority report to move to we support, please stand. All in favor of the minority report to move it to we support, please stand or raise a paddle. Have you had a good enough look at it? Okay, please be seated. All opposed, please stand or raise a paddle. You may be seated. That confirms my initial ruling. All right. Thank you for your patience. My goal is always to get it right. That is my number one goal. All right.
Question? I know this is a little bit out of order, but I just wanted to say thank you, Bill, for always being fair.
Thank you.
Can I make a comment over here?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I just ask everyone to just settle down? Can everyone just please settle down and reconnect with their heart and realize why we're here and start treating people with more dignity and respect?
Thank you. Thank you. Let me, while I understand that, I think we have just dealt with two of the more, shall we say, excitable issues we're going to face this evening. So I really appreciate everybody's patience and everybody's good debate. We had a good debate on that.